You know, there's lots of ideas of what are bad sins. I remember many years ago, while I was still working as a carpenter, beginning days of the church here, we were working with some friends, co-workers of ours that we'd worked with many times before, plasterers. And the boss had gone down south, and he said, "Boy, I never knew there were so many Baptist churches in this country." And that kind of opened up the conversation. And I can't remember the assistant's name, but he was a lot more than an assistant to plaster. And he said, "I don't know why I need to be born again. I haven't done any big sins." And I said, "You know, well, I think you just committed the biggest sin, pride." And, you know, we have lots of lists of sins, but probably the biggest one, the original one. Did you know it? The original one is sin. I mean, it's pride. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah 14, we find sin of Satan, and of course he is the power behind the king of Babylon. And in verse number 12, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Of course, Ezekiel chapter 28 talks about the creation of Satan. And verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that coverest, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Here we have this most amazing creature, angel, angelic being, the anointed cherub, covered with all the precious stones. He was at such a high rank in God's plan and in being that somehow he thought he could ascend above God. It kind of reminds us of the definition or gives us a definition or insight into pride. And pride is simply thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Somehow Satan's thought that he had done something to make himself the way he was. He didn't do a thing to make himself the way he was. Somehow he was trying it came to him that he was more than he was. And that's really the root of pride, that when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I think there's obviously another aspect of pride, and that certainly is to think less highly of God than we ought to think. Certainly Satan was vain in his imaginations that he could lift his throne above the throne of God. Amen. And yet, at the same time, he was vain in his imaginations concerning his own self. And, this is a real, and of course, this is part of the transfer, the temptation in the Garden of Eden. And, he tempted Adam and Eve, to begin to think of themselves more than they ought to think. And to think that, boy, if you had the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil, you would be like God. Again, we have this transfer. Satan, his sin, pride, and the original sin of man, pride. And we are born with a proud spirit. You know, think of how a child displays their pride. I don't know which one it was, but I think of one of our little ones. Our house was so busy, everything is vague in my mind. It's just a big, big blur. So don't ask me who it was. But I remember one child in the high chair at mealtime. And someone, myself or my wife, takes the spoon to feed this little one whatever they were supposed to eat. And that little one took their hand and slapped mom or dad's hand away. You know, to think that that little child is going to tell mom and dad what to do. And that little child is going to slap their hand, you know, as though that somehow they have more power than mom and dad. Wow. You know, pride. To think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And we're born that way. That's a part of our sinful nature. Pride. You know, as you think about pride, we want to think about God's attitude about pride. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And the first and the top of the list, what is it? A proud look. a proud look. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? This look of pride. You know? Just the look. You know? It comes from the heart of pride, but to the Lord, the look of pride is something the Bible tells us that He hates it. Now, when we think of pride, I think one of the sobering things about pride are really the actions of God concerning pride. Turn with me to James chapter 4. So we think of what the Bible is saying. It says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, James 4:6, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. Now, this is a pretty serious thing, isn't it? You know, it says that God is resisting whatever, resisting their efforts, resisting their work, resisting them. You know, you think about that, you know, that could be a pretty a serious thing in life. You know, we could be proud and all our efforts for God would come to nothing because God would resist them. He would actually push back on whatever we're trying to do. That's how serious this thing is. God resists the proud. That is an overwhelming statement. When we recognize that we need the blessing of God and that for the proud, God would resist whatever, whoever they are, whatever they are doing. And also, as you think about pride, God's actions about the proud. Daniel chapter 4, we've been in Daniel, and of course, the big statement in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now put that in perspective. Here is King Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king of the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth at this time. And from being the greatest king with the most authority and power and prestige and majesty and honor. He gets the mind of a animal. He loses his sanity. He becomes mentally deranged. He gets mental illness. He thought he was a beast. And they put him out to pasture, literally. They put a fence up and they made a little hut for him. And he went out there and he was eating grass and lived like a cow. Now, I tell you what, you talk about from the top, right, to the lowest of the low, that's what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. Because he was proud. He did not give God the credit. He thought that he had done, he was the key to his success. He had just defeated Egypt and became the sole power of the world. And he took credit for it all. Yet we learned even this morning that God said that the four winds moved upon the great sea. And God raised up Nebuchadnezzar. And God was working behind the scenes. And God allowed him to be the great king. In Acts chapter 12, we see the same situation. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Acts chapter 12. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And the Bible says, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Well, here he was. He got the praise of men. Boy, the praise of men can be pretty dangerous. And the Bible tells us we need to be like a refiner to the praise of men. But he said, instead of giving God the glory, he took the credit for to himself. And he allowed the people to lift him up and receive this adoration and adulation. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord smote him. So here we find that God can take a person from the top and put him on the bottom, can't he? And the person that he is going to abase, take from the top and put him on the very bottom, it is a person who is walking in pride. Now, of course, James gives us some answers to the problem of pride. Let's go back to James chapter 4 tonight. But he giveth, verse 6, more grace, whereof he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Giveth grace unto the humble. So a person can be greatly blessed of God, or greatly gifted of God, or you name whatever it might be. But if we're not giving God the credit, if somehow we're taking the credit, somehow we are seeking that people would think well of us, if somehow we are lifting up ourselves in our own mind, and which is so easy to do, isn't it? Guess who God is going to bless? Not you or I. He's going to bless the humble. You know, sometimes it's easy for, it may be, it should be easy. It might be easier for a person when you say, you know, you say a person, they have a, you know, a humble status in life, you know. They have a, you know, a rusty car. They don't have many talents. They're just a common person. And they don't have much to offer, you know. They're just who they are. And and because of their low status in life, they're just humble people. And you guess who's going to bless them? God. God is going to bless the humble person. And the person with everything you name and et cetera, could go on in life without any blessing. Now, let's look at, we'll come back here, but go to Philippians chapter 2. These are just reminders that we all need. These are just reminders that we all need. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So it's saying this is how we ought to be thinking. This is how we ought to be thinking. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He was God the Son. He was divine. He was equal with God the Father. But it says, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon them the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, everything here about the Lord Jesus speaks of the mind of humility. Here he is, the Son of God, and he made himself of no reputation. People looked at him in his human body, and they just looked at him as another man, didn't they? He was far about more than just a man, wasn't he? He was the God-man. But he made himself of no reputation. He allowed himself to be put in a situation that they thought of him far lower than he was. Isn't that right? Far lower than he was. He took upon the form of a servant. I didn't look the word up. I don't have my Greek here, but it's probably the word like slave. You know, in our political correct world, the thought of a slave is the most horrible, and it is a horrible thing, isn't it? It's a horrible thing, but it was nothing for the Lord Jesus. Be a servant. Be a servant to us. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine that? You know, it's one thing to serve somebody great, isn't it? And somebody said, well, man, I'd be glad to, you know, serve General so-and-so or the president or whoever, man. I'd be glad to be their servant. But to serve man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible says, made in the likeness of men. Well, he wasn't a sinner, but he was made in the likeness of sinners, wasn't he? And, you know, it is shocking when you think of some of the apocryphal books and the things that they say. I've never read them, but I remember one time I was out soul winning, and this lady said, you know, Jesus, when he was a little boy, he stole something. I guess that's in the Apocrypha. And you know, that was just like a horrible, horrible thing that could be said about the Lord Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's just horrible that people would think that of him, that people would, that these Apocrypha books would say something like that. He was made in the likeness of men. And those who just thought of him as a mere man attributed to him things that were very horrible. And he humbled himself. He put himself under the authority of God the Father. Here he was, God the Son, creator of the universe, equal with the Father, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He put himself in a position gladly that he was lower than who he was. He was lower than who he was. You know, we have a hard time. We have the opposite problem. We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And our human nature is to think better of us than reality. On the other hand, we have this problem. We think that somehow God is, we can so often just make God just a little bit higher than us, you know? He's, you know, we almost make him like the Greeks, you know, a superhuman, you know. He's bigger than us, but he's not way bigger than us. We have this great example of the Lord Jesus. Going back to James. As we think of the answer of pride, wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know, one of the best things that sometimes can happen to us is to get humbled. You know, just think of how hard it is to humble yourself. Now, you parents, you have these little children. They're 2, 3, 4 years old, right? And you say to them, they do something wrong. Then you say to them, now, you go to your sister and say, I'm sorry. You know how hard that is? You can almost see the gears turning in there, right? And it's like, no way am I going to say I'm sorry. But you know, the biggest cure of pride is to have to humble ourselves. Right? To have to go to maybe that authority, maybe to have to go to that teacher, and you go to that teacher and you say, you know, I looked at the next person's test. I cheated. Oh, is that hard to do, isn't it? To humble yourself. But you know, the best way to cure yourself of sin is many times have to humble yourself, right? You have to go to that teacher and you say, I cheated on that test. Please forgive me. I tell you what, that's a cure, big cure for pride, because that person, that child, and us, we're going to say, well, I'll never want to go through that again. Right? And we'll be cured because the root of our sin is pride. And we see that, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Now, you think about what it's really saying is God is way up there, right? Way up there. He's a million times greater than us, stronger than us. He's God. And yet, our little pea brain says, you know, I don't have to obey God. I don't have to do what he says. Why should I do what he says? You know what I mean? That's really what rebellion is, isn't it? Rebellion is pride. And we're born rebellious. And guess who we rebel against? God. How could a person think that they can rebel against God, that they have the right to do that? Why? Because of pride. Our mind tells us that we don't have to obey God, that we're bigger than God, that somehow, you know, God's here and we're here and we can make the choice. That's pride, isn't it? And so it tells us, the answer to pride is humility. The answer to pride is submission. Submission. You know, today we live in a day which is very unusual. The Bible says that in the last days that men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Men, after their own lusts, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so people today, in this day and hour, people are looking for you know, a church that tells them their rock music is okay, or tells them that their drinking is okay, or tells them that their divorce is okay, or tells them whatever is okay, right? You got 20 big sins, 20 problems, and you get 20 different people, and they all have a different problem, right? Whatever it might be, that's their hang-up. And they're looking for a church that won't preach against that. In fact, will condone it or allow it. And so they never can go to a good church. They can't go to a good church. That's why the mega churches are full. Because those people cannot go to a good church. Because that church is going to preach against their sin. What's the problem? The Bible tells us the problem is pride. Won't submit to God. It's the spirit of the hour. I don't have to submit to God. This is what I want to do. But the Bible says that the opposite of pride is to submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. And maybe that's something that we should think about, is submitting ourselves to God. What is it that we won't obey? What is it that we won't humble ourselves? Well, the key is, the answer is pride. And the answer is that we need to humble ourselves. Of course, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. We see another big picture here that tells us that the root of man's problem is pride. Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, that is really the picture of the day in which we live. You have the world's wise people. And their knowledge many times has fed their pride that somehow they have thought of themselves obviously more highly than they ought to think. Somehow they don't give God the credit. And as a result, we have all these horrible sins taking place in our society because man won't give God the glory. And we need to give God the glory. We need to make sure that we remind ourselves that there's nothing that we have that we haven't received. Right? There's nothing that we have that we haven't received. And that is a key to life. That God is the one that we owe everything to. And God is the one that gets the glory. And we are merely a vessel to be used for the Lord. Well, a world that is centered in pride. Our nature is centered in pride. And very sobering tonight to remember that God resists the proud. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to think lower of ourselves. When we think lower of ourselves, then we think we're just really thinking of ourselves exactly who we are, sinners saved by grace. And we need to make sure that we're thinking the rightly of God and as well as rightly of who we are. Think of the fact that there are people today who are sinners, and that they could say they don't need God. Mrs. Bird was overwhelmed Tuesday night. This fellow came back to the table and handed her back all the books that she had given him. And he said to her, "I've decided I don't need God. I'm doing fine." Well, it's pretty overwhelming when you come to up to somebody like that that's so full of pride. And you could tell that this fellow figured he had everything put together. He was some kind of intellectual, and he could think it all through. And wow, what a sad case. And we can, in our own way as Christians, make sure that we don't have a proud look. We need to make sure that we're willing to make ourselves of no reputation. We have to make sure that we give God all the credit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a sober, sober reminder that this sin is truly straight from the devil. And yet, Lord, because of Adam and Eve, because of Adam, we are born that way. And Lord, we thank you that in your mercy, you convict us of our sin and show us our sinfulness. So we finally realize that we deserve hell and we need a new heart. Lord, thank you for your mercy of the convicting of your Holy Spirit. But help us even, Lord, to be reminded today that there's some horrible dangers to pride. And yet, Lord, we know, even as Nebuchadnezzar, he rejoiced when he was humbled by you. And sometimes, Lord, we need to be humbled. And we need to rejoice in that, because we know that you give grace to the humble. May it be so, Lord. May we humble ourselves in your sight, that we might find your grace, your blessing. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you haven't thought about this before. Maybe you haven't thought about the fact that you're born proud, that you somehow are a little bit just a notch under God, that somehow you can kind of figure things out. You don't really need God, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're a young person and you think, I'm fine. I don't need God. I can do fine. I don't need to live for God. I don't need to serve God. I don't need to put God first in my life. Oh, boy. Maybe the Lord in his mercy has helped you see that you're suffering from the sin of pride, one of the worst of all sins. And God is speaking to your heart tonight about your need to be saved. Maybe your inability to submit yourself to God in some area is because you don't think of God very highly. Somehow you think of, we think of ourselves as just a little bit under God, and we have every right to resist God's will and God's word. But perhaps tonight the Lord is helping you to humble yourself before the Lord. And say tonight, you say, Lord, tonight is the night that I'm submitting to you. Maybe tonight is the night that you admit that you need God. And because you haven't followed God, you've made a mess of your life. And God's speaking to your heart about your need to just let him have his way in your life. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart. There's a decision I need to make tonight. In fact, maybe you've already made it. Praise the Lord. And say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord is showing me some things tonight that are key to God's blessing in my life. And I'm just telling the Lord, Lord, I want to submit to you. I want to give you all the credit. Anyone here tonight, God's spoken to your heart. Okay. Amen. Anyone else? Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word and the truth. It's much bigger than it's been expounded on tonight. But might, Lord, you use it for your glory. Bless these decisions, Lord. Any time that we humble ourselves, it's a victory. And you're glorified. And we know that humility is the key to success in life. And so bless, Lord, oh, Lord, how we just observe in life, how in life you bless the humble. And you, those are the ones at the top of the ranks. We thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John.
Destructive nature of it, Lord. I pray that we would take the warning to heart and And Lord, would you specifically show us areas of each of our lives that we lift ourselves up in pride, where we're arrogant, rebellious against you, Lord. I pray that we go from here and willing and humble, Lord, ready to deal with those areas and give them to you. And Lord, I just pray that we would not allow this great sin into our lives, that you would give us, convict us, Lord, by your Spirit when that takes place. And Lord, may we be a humble people that recognize our lowliness and our weakness before you. And Lord, that we would be humbled so that you can lift us up, Lord, and not ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.